the more you have a pulse on what is happening, the better you're going to be. It's the same thing as we know, you know, measure what matters, what gets measured, gets improved, and so forth. And so know that your partners are going to be on top of the ball and have really good communication, and that you can always reach out to them as you have questions. Welcome to the Path to Passive podcast, where we talk about building wealth and empowering lifestyle through commercial real estate investing for tech professionals. I always wish that other tech professionals reaching financial freedom had documented their journey along the way, so I'm doing it for the rest of us. Join as we explore stories, many failures, and lessons learned along the way. I hope you enjoy and subscribe. So what are we talking about today? Today we're talking about knowing who you're investing with. And I'll ask you, how do you know that you know them? And what processes or your own checklist do you have to protect yourself as an investor? And so in this episode, we're going to briefly talk about why this is so important that you know who your partners are and what you can do to make sure you protect yourself or mitigate those risks before you invest. So in classic fashion, opening up today, welcome to the episode of Path to Passive. This is real estate for investing for tech professionals. I am your host, Steven Rita, and today we're going to be talking about and things that you should be doing to know your partners before you invest. Originally, I had 5 things, but I was writing more and more. I think I'm about to 8 things. But anyway, before I jump in too much today, I wanted to share that this topic is something that is top of mind for me because I invested in Deal when I first started a couple years ago, and I'm into a few bumpy things right now. And just being transparent about this, I had other topics that I wanted to talk about as well. Even topics that I said on previous episodes I wanted to talk about, like bringing more technical skills and topics like vetting deals and, you know, going through things that are more technical, like I said, like understanding numbers, understanding processes, etc. But I wanted to talk about this one just to emphasize how important this is. So I want to get into those things and share it now. So why is this so important, right? If you jump into deals with wrong people, and I say wrong, jump into deals with people that you don't quite know as well that you should, that you might not align with, or could be, you know, might have financial or legal troubles or any of those kinds of things, obviously that can mean issues down the line. And I'm not just talking about money, right? And I'm betting even this is money that you worked really hard for. So if you get into these deals with the wrong people, it's not just financial, but it could get you into legal troubles as well. And think about it. Think about getting into deals where that could go south, that could go bad, right? And I'm not trying to scare you here, but if you enter into deals that are structured in such ways that increase your liability past what you just invested in, then it could mean those legal troubles like I mentioned as well. Think about things such as potentially joint ventures. That means that, you know, in that situation, you might both get the gains, but that means you're both on the hook for things that could be negative as well, such as paying back loans, which could be tens or hundreds of, you know, thousands of dollars and potentially even more, depending on how big that deal is. Now, the thing is, if you haven't invested in a deal before, I mean, you know, we want it to be as great of a success as possible. You know, we want a good first deal, a good second deal, so that you continue to invest well, right? Because if you get into trouble, as an example, or your first deal goes south, it's going to be a little bit harder to get on the horse, get back in there to be like, okay, this something negative happened, but I'm going to plow through that and keep going. Obviously, I would suggest that you do because it's about being in the game. And what else are you going to do, right? And I say that sincerely because if you've decided on real estate as a vehicle, you've decided on whatever your investment is as a vehicle, then it's really hard to time certain markets, as an example. But it's another to stay in, be persistent, learn more about the rules of the game, and keep on playing it. So make sure that you understand who you're partnering with, who your partners are, and just partners, the deal, the market. These are the 3 criteria we really harp on. And so, you know, I know that when I was thinking about this time of investment, I was at a mind frame where I was thinking of, okay, I know that I need to learn as much as I possibly can, but I didn't want to be in a perpetual learning state of you know, just learn a little more. I wanted to take action. I wanted to get in the game. But unfortunately, the situation that happened was that I trusted certain people and I thought that I could learn while I went and I could use other people's insight and mentoring as leverage there. And I think it was still sound advice, but I should have done even more, even though I didn't have the technical knowledge. So my point is that, you know, getting that itch of got to get into a deal and something like that can be detrimental, right? Don't get the itis. Don't get the deal-itis needing to get in the deal too fast. Take the time to learn, build the network, get educated, and education on its own will de-risk you as well. And so the question might be, well, how do I know when is the right amount to know and have other people's mentorship to tell you to get into a deal? Well, that is, like I said, understanding deal structure, understanding about knowing why those particular markets, and of course, like we're talking about right, Neil, right now, which is knowing how to have your own process, your own checklist, your own due diligence checklist to invest as well, so that you can be comfortable in who you're investing with, not just the deal itself. So things I wished I did more of. Really, I just wished I had asked more questions about the deal. Because even if I didn't know as much as I know now about it, or as much as I should have known, I'll say I could have asked more questions. I could have asked more questions and used that as an education experience altogether. That would have allowed me to get even more expansion of, you know, what I like to talk about of is knowing what I know, knowing what I don't know. And of course, all those things of not, you know, you don't know what you don't know, as an example of that third bucket. Other things I would have done along with asking more questions is, who are other partners? Who are other investors that have worked with your partners as well? So tap into that network even more. Hey, who are the people you work with? Get to know the team better. And I've talked about this around, you know, things that you must know, you know, about people on the team in previous episodes. But again, I come up with those episodes because of my experience through looking since then, I'll say. So understand who else is on the team and really understand their track records as well. Ask third, I would ask if I can talk to other investors or people that know them well, right? You know, I've heard as far as, you know, things like from there, you can ask for if there's anything about, you know, who they know, letters of recommendation or stuff like that from accountants or legal professionals, stuff like that as an example. It could be that in previous investors who might have gotten good returns and had great experiences as well. That's the thing. Also, number four, we're talking about track record. And how many times is the partner you're working with, have they been successful already, right? And with that same type of asset class, with that same type of business model as an example. And so, you know, if it's multifamily, that's the asset class, the apartments. And if it's that business model, we're talking about improving or doing value add, right? Raising rents or adding any types of amenities, you know, washers, dryers, all that kind of stuff on site, paying for parking, whatever, and reducing the expenses there as well. Negotiating contracts, et cetera, et cetera. But that's the business plan aspect. And so, if they have that, then that speaks to track record. Also, what other skills might they have had in a previous life, which can apply there as well? Maybe they were executives in a past life and they know how to orchestrate big deals, as an example. Maybe they were really good at asset management and understanding the day-to-day or week-to-week operations. Or someone else on that team is going to have that skill set as well, and just the same, understanding who they are, their track record, and other people who know them as well. This is a big one. Often overlooked, but I was just in another mastermind call that it was last week, and I heard this come up, and it was so apt, so timely for it, but it was to run a background check. And the way they positioned the background check here is actually pretty cool. And so when you're going to your partners, you know, can ask them, hey, before you tell them, hey, I'm as part of my standard due diligence, I'm going to be running a background check. And before I go do that, I just want to know, is there anything that I'm going to find once I get that background check? And then you get the opportunity, you give them the opportunity to talk about things that might be found and let them talk through what some of those reasons are that they're there. And if anything, you know, comes off a bit weird, they don't want that, why would you do that, or push back on really any of these things, these are really good indicators where you might get that feeling in your stomach or feeling wherever that it might be a good time to run, right? Other things here, number six, is how frequent are you going to be getting communications? Here I'm talking about if you're a passive investor for most of these, but the same thing applies for all of these, whether you're, you know, active or passive. But again, we're talking about passive here. So how frequent are you going to be getting communication? I'm talking about newsletters. I'm talking about the status updates that are going on with that property or that particular asset. So ask about that, because not hearing anything for a long time, or maybe once a half a year or whatever, that's not very good. Would you expect that you get that type of communication from a company that you invested in? Well, that's the same thing here. So look for monthly, look for quarterly, whatever you are good with. Honestly, I would say no less than quarterly, especially depending on the type of investment, but definitely the more you have a pulse on what is happening, the better you're going to be. Same thing as we know, you know, measure what matters, what gets measured gets improved, and so forth. And so know that your partners are going to be on top of the ball and have really good communication, and that you can always reach out to them as you have questions. So the last one here is a talk about knowing about the deal, right? And this one in particular is useful at many stages of vetting, again, you know, the people that are part of the team that you're investing with. And then what it is before you sign any documents, have your attorneys look over deals to translate the language so that you can understand it, or someone that you trust that can translate all the legalese, all those different types of docs into English for you, so that you understand what's happening, right? Because for the most part, understanding things like return on investment, as an example, most of us, all of us, should really just understand what that means. So if I put a dollar in, how, you know, when do I get $2 back, and for how long will that take? Those types of questions. So even though you may not know all the things about the asset class, you can still understand, hey, if I put this amount of money in, what am I going to get back? You know, when will I get it back? What's the risk? All those types of things, right? And those questions at the very start are things that you can really still start pulling the thread on, so that you can ask follow-up questions too. Anyway, like I said, this was just going to be a quick one. This was top of mind for me based on one thing that is really recent for me. So that's what I wanted to share. So quickly recapping for today. Today, I wanted to share on the importance of knowing your partners and taking the time to go through and doing that due diligence. And so I had to talk about some of the actions for you. It would be to come up with your own process that you follow to vet your partners too, right? You can start with some of the ones that I mentioned before and just integrate those into your own checklist. You know, come up with a set of questions to ask about the deal, to ask about track record, ask about who else might be invested with them already, who else you can talk to, right? And I especially like that positioning around the background check as well. Why? It's pretty simple. Like anything we do in tech here is that we have to have a process and a formula that we can put together so that you have something that can be repeatable, right? You can learn more about what the deal is so that you, like I said, you can mitigate any of the risks that you have or feel a lot more comfortable going in because you have looked at the deal. You know more about the people you're investing with. You feel comfortable about that from something like a values alignment, etc. as well. So deal, market, certainly the people as well. So bringing me to the quote of the day, I picked this quote deliberately given that I think it's really good to be deliberate on understanding and de-risking yourself on everything we talked about with the people. But the quote is, alone we can do so little, together we can do so much. And this is by Helen Keller. And like I said, I picked this quote because at the end of the day, even though We should do our best to make sure that we're asking the right questions and reducing our risk. We still need to know how to work with other people. We just need to go through a due diligence process for ourselves, for our own certainty, our own setting expectations, our own future as well. So wrapping up, if this helped you, I would love, love, love for you to please leave a review wherever you are listening, whether that's Spotify, whether that's Apple Podcast, or if you're listening here on YouTube as well. I do have a number of guests that I'm currently working on getting booked that can bring you value. I've got some really, really great ones that are coming out of the mastermind I'm in, one of the masterminds I'm in, and I'm looking at getting more reviews, which helps me to get even more reach. And of course, that means more guests on the podcast as well. So I would greatly appreciate it. Also, as usual, I say this every time because I do mean it. I want to hear from you that if you do have topics that you want to hear about, let me know and I will find out the right people to get them on here to get your questions answered. In fact, I did get a couple of reach outs so far, so I'm excited to get some of those guests on and be sending it to those people that have asked me. So you can reach out to me on Instagram at TheRealArita or at email on Stephen@aritacapital.com. Of course, those are in the show notes as well. So thank you for joining me on another episode of Path to Passive, and I will see you next time. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Path to Passive. We love connecting with our listeners and those on the path to architecting their wealth and improving their lives. Feel free to let us know what topics you'd like to see in future episodes. Get in touch with us through email or Instagram. See you next week for a new episode.